Thanks to a generous donor, we've purchased a building for the new studios and offices of Issues Etc., Lutheran Public Radio, and The Word of the Lord Endures Forever.
The donor will match up to $200,000 for the purchase and renovation.
The entire cost is approximately $375,000.
You can view an architect's rendering and make a special tax-deductible gift at issuesetc.org
or call 618-223-8385.
Thanks for your consideration.
This is something the Christians need to really be aware of, the many, many propaganda techniques that are utilized against us. And deflection is one of the most important.
Everywhere I went talking to people, every one of them said that if people in the West are not willing to die for their faith, then they're not going to withstand what's coming.
Saying the truth about your sin and yourself, that you're not righteous, that you're not good, that you are a sinner, that you are in need of God's mercy and grace, that's a biblical way of being authentic before God.
To say, "Thus says the Lord," is actually an act of humility, because it gives the glory and the deference to Him, to His word.
Farmers in South Dakota, listen to issuesetc.org while combining our corn and feeding the world.
When we think about a New Testament epistle that would be most strongly associated with the 16th century Reformation and with the theology of Martin Luther, we usually think about the book of Romans. That is, after all, there in the third chapter of Romans, where Luther had his tower experience and the gospel came clear to him. But of equal importance, both to Luther and to the Reformation, was the book of Galatians. Why did Luther consider this book so important, and how did that book shape the 16th century Reformation? Greetings and welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for tuning us in live on this Thursday afternoon, the 15th of October. Pastor Matt Harrison, president of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod, joins us here to talk about the book of Galatians and the Reformation. Then a little later, we'll go through listener email and the Issues Etc. comment line, the email address, talkback@issuesetc.org, and the comment line, 618-223-8382. Pastor Matt Harrison is president of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. He's author of several books, including his latest, Why Am I Joyfully Lutheran?, and a column for the October issue of the Lutheran Witness magazine titled The Certain Gospel. Matt, welcome back.
Always great to be here.
What is going on among the Christians there in Galatia that occasions Paul's stern letter to them?
Well, they had been a mission congregation begun by Paul's work, and what happened was some people came out from Jerusalem, pretty closely connected to the mucky mucks back in Jerusalem, James, the brother of Jesus, and they started telling people, yeah, well, you got to follow the Mosaic law. You got to become Jews to become Christians. And so these non-Jewish people in Europe started to believe in Asia Minor, and they were told, you've got to start following the dietary laws and especially be circumcised as a Jew to become a Christian. And they were doing this because basically there was a very strong zealot movement back in Jerusalem, zealotic movement. Paul had been a zealot, he had said several times, zeal for the law. And these people didn't like compromise with the Romans who were ruling in the country, and they didn't like foreign dominance, foreign influence, foreign religious influence, government, or anything. And some of them were actually terrorists, and they would off people who were cooperating with the Romans. So they were pretty intense people, and this argument started out in the provinces where Paul had done his mission work, and Paul stood up to it and said, no, who fooled you? Who deceived you, you foolish Galatians? You started by faith, and now you want to fit in by works? No chance. So that's what was going on.
Why did the 16th century reformer Martin Luther consider the book of Galatians so important?
Well, it told his story. These Galatians had been deceived into thinking somehow that eternal life was a result of following the law. It was Christ plus the law, Christ plus the ceremonial law, but also Christ plus the law, even the Ten Commandments. And you know, Luther had been under a similar delusion. It was, yes, believe in Christ, but you got to do certain things. You got to have certain merits. You become a church professional, a friar, in order to assure that you'll have less time in purgatory. You participate in the sacramental system to gain merit. You get indulgences for doing this or that and shorten your time in purgatory. And it gave Luther no assurance, ultimately, because when you look to law for assurance, you end up simply having a bad conscience or deceiving yourself. So Luther really saw a reflection of himself. He says, the book of Galatians is my Katie von Bora. I have married it. That's how highly he regarded it.
You mentioned their assurance. Can a Christian be absolutely certain of his or her salvation?
Most certainly. As C.F.W. Walther wrote, every page of the Bible drips with this sure assurance for the Christian. I know that my Redeemer lives, Job says. It's everywhere that we might know that Christ is our Savior and have eternal life. So, yes, the Bible says everywhere that Jesus Christ died for the ungodly. That's us. The scripture, especially Galatians, bids us look outside of ourselves to Christ, who dies for us, lives for us. And because this salvation is something accomplished for us outside of us, it is absolutely certain. It's as certain as Christ himself.
You say anything other than Christ alone damns. What do you mean?
We are told that we are saved by grace through faith by St. Paul and Ephesians 2, for instance. And this faith just grabs hold of Jesus. The book of Galatians tells us repeatedly that those who think they're gaining God's approval through the law are in fact lost. They have lost Christ. Paul says right away in Galatians, if anybody preaches to you a gospel other than the one we preach to you, let him be anathema. I say it again. And that gospel is the free good news of forgiveness in Christ alone. We don't get to heaven. We don't get eternal life. We don't get an eternal resurrection by doing good works, by works plus faith. We get it by Christ and his activity and action.
Why do you say that the art of being a Christian is the realization that sins constantly plague me and that I constantly need Jesus?
It is an art. I think our temptation, certainly my temptation, is to somehow think that I must be on about looking for and looking at the sins of other people. That Christianity is somehow, it's so easy to think this, Christianity is about me getting my life in order. And then there are whole movements around this, by the way. You go to meetings where you have a special person come and say, my life was a disaster, I gave my life to Christ, and now I'm in great shape, and my family's back together, and I'm making money. It's not like that at all. We daily sin much and deserve nothing but punishment. Every day, when our hands and our feet don't do the right thing, or when they do the right thing, our minds still are in the gutter or thinking the wrong thoughts. We don't go to church so a pastor can condemn the sins of society. Of course, preacher, and the Bible does plenty of this, may point out the failings and sins of the broader world, to be sure. But the main thing is to preach to people, and this is the most difficult part of preaching, to preach to condemn the sins of the people who are actually sitting in front of him, and also then to forgive the sins of the person sitting in front of him. And this is very, very significant. If I realize that I am a sinner, I may know a couple of sins of somebody else I might see doing something wrong or hear say something wrong, or, but I know virtually all my sins. And the law speaks to me, thou shalt not, the soul that sins shall surely die. It breaks my pride and arrogance and breaks me down so that I am a proper recipient of God's grace and mercy, which only flows to the brokenhearted, the lowly. So that way to live makes me sympathetic with sinners. It makes me compassionate for people who need Jesus. It makes me more patient with my family who are sinners. It makes it much more unrealistic for me to be a complete jerk to those people around me when I realize, wow, Christ does not treat me that way. That's living as a Christian, the art of it.
Pastor Matt Harrison is our guest. He's president of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. When we come back, why do we tend to downplay the severity of God's law's demands? Thanks to a generous donor, we've purchased a building for the new studios and offices of Issues Etc., Lutheran Public Radio, and The Word of the Lord Endures Forever.
The donor will match up to $200,000 for the purchase and renovation.
The entire cost is approximately $375,000.
You can view an architect's rendering and make a special tax-deductible gift at issuesetc.org.
Or call 618-223-8385. Thanks for your consideration.
Job saw the city as a wasteland, as if devoid of God, witnessing injustice to the poor by the corrupt, lawlessness of criminals, trafficking of children, blatant immorality, thinking God could not see wicked deeds done in the dark of night. Yet God never abandoned Job, nor his city, groaning for mercy. God is working through the living Redeemer, hands etched with salvation, pointing to the resurrection to come. Join us at lcms.org/citymission to seek peace and shine the light in the city.
Grace, faith, Scripture, and Christ alone. You're listening to Issues Etc.
This week on The Word of the Lord Endures Forever, we continue our study of St. Matthew with Woe to Galilean Cities, Come to Me, Lord of the Sabbath, Man with a Withered Hand, and God's Chosen Servant. Join me, Pastor Will Whedon, for The Word of the Lord Endures Forever, your daily 15-minute verse-by-verse Bible study on demand at thewordendures.org and on the Lutheran Public Radio app.
During a global pandemic, how can we find comfort in the hymn, From God Can Nothing Move Me? You'll find the answer in Pastor Will Whedon's column on Lutheran Dirges and Such in the latest Issues Etc. journal. We'll send it to you for free. Just click the red journal subscription button in the right-hand column at issuesetc.org. In the Wittenberg Trail feature, Rapper Flame details his journey from Bapticostal and Reformed Baptist Calvinism to Confessional Lutheranism. The free online Issues Etc. journal. We're talking to Pastor Matt Harrison, president of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod, about the Book of Galatians and the Reformation. I'm Todd Wilkin. You're connected to Issues Etc. The Issues Etc. journal is out. It has an article by Pastor Will Whedon, host of The Word of the Lord Endures Forever. He likes to talk about hymns. We've done many hymn studies with him, and his latest is a study of the hymn From God Can Nothing Move Me, written during a pandemic, on Lutheran Dirges and Such, also a Wittenberg Trail feature from Rapper Flame. You can subscribe to the online Issues Etc. journal by just going to our website, issuesetc.org. Look for the red button on the right-hand side. Click that, then enter your email address, and we'll send you the Issues Etc. journal absolutely free. Matt, why do we tend to downplay the severity of God's law's demands on us?
Well, you shall have no other gods. So we say, oh, well, I don't have any other God. I believe in Father, Son, Holy Spirit, Holy Trinity. Next commandment. But Luther's brilliant explanation says, you shall have no other God before me. What does this mean? We should fear, love, and trust in God above all things. Do we fear, love, and trust God above all things, really? How many things do we fear other than God? Our health, the COVID virus. It's good to have certain fears. God wants us to be afraid of things like tornadoes and stuff so we can run away and be safe. He's designed us that way. But we fear these things to death. We worry. We stay up at night worrying about all kinds of things. We love other things. We concentrate on getting material possessions. We concentrate so much on it, we'll ignore the scriptures or ignore church. What do we trust in? We trust in our capabilities, our power to manipulate, our personality, our personal skills, our bank account, and fail to trust in the one who has provided all these things for us. So it seems the outward command, like thou shalt not commit adultery, well, many people avoid that, to be sure. But Jesus intensifies the law. A lot of people think Jesus came along and he was all gospel and really loosened the law. He didn't. He intensified it. Whoever looks at a woman lustfully has already committed adultery with her in his heart. And he intensifies the law. He gives it hard to people who come to him and trust in themselves and their own righteousness. But he gives only the sweetest gospel to those who are broken and realize they're in need.
How do non-Christians invent their own religions, as you call speculation about the divine majesty?
Well, I think I run into just a lot of people various places. And I wear my collar when I haven't been traveling much lately, but when I travel, and so there's always somebody talking to me, always, 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 whether I like it or not, I end up telling people about Jesus. But inevitably, I'm talking to people who maybe have read a few pages of the Bhagavad Gita or some Eastern mysticism, had a college course in religion, or may have had a toe growing up in the church but long since left, know absolutely nothing about the Bible, let alone like the Gospel of John or Mark or something. And they just dream up some kind of thoughts about who God is or God might be or what God might want or not want that are simply a human fiction. And it's so sad, because so often it's tied with all kinds of pain in life and sort of unanswerable questions. The Bible is so clear and tells us so clearly that Jesus died on the cross for our sins, that he was sent by the Father because of love, and that hearing the message, the Spirit works in our hearts and causes us to believe in him, and that we can have consolation and certainty in this life in every way, shape, or form, to know that eternal life is ours as we go through this life. And in spite of all the challenges of this life, we can live in joy and love and peace amidst all the difficulties. That's what God wants us to do, and there's no speculation about that. It's who he is.
You quote Luther, "This Wittenberg of ours is a holy village, and we are truly holy because we have been baptized, communed, taught, and called by God. We have the work of God among us, that is, the Word and the sacraments, and these make us holy." What did Luther mean by that?
What do you need in life besides Christ? Just think, this is just such a beautiful thing. Paul says in Galatians 5, "For freedom Christ has set us free." Not so that we be yoked again into slavery, that is, a slavery to the law. Think of this. I can live my life in the perfect certainty that God is absolutely for me, that my sins of past, present, and future have been paid for on a cross already, that I believe in Christ and God has caused that to happen. Paul says many times we're dead in our trespasses and sins apart from Christ, and that Christ makes us alive. And so, as a Christian who is alive and know that my sins are forgiven and daily and continuously forgiven, this is not a one-time event, not a decide for Jesus, get holy, and now I'm living according to the law. That's not the Christian life. A Christian life is one of continuous repentance, continuous faith. It's a complete coming to repentance daily, coming back to my baptism daily, hearing the word of Christ console me daily, hearing the word of Christ tell me, look, you're a sinner daily, going to hear the sermon on Sunday, having my neighbors and my family speak forgiveness to me in my community, receiving the sacrament for consolation and strength as I face all kinds of difficulties. So Luther says you have all of that, and plus, you're free. You're free to be what you want to be within God's callings. The options before you are wonderful in many cases. You're free to have a family. You're free to serve God in a vocation that you love. You're free to study. You're free to enjoy God's creation. You're free to enjoy other people. You're free to live. And that is a beautiful thing. I think Luther had a tough life, but I often think about this aspect of walking around Wittenberg, walking the places where Luther went and where he said outrageous things from time to time, mostly humorous, and how he indeed lived with a joyful gusto, nevertheless facing all kinds of challenges.
Finally, we think about the book of Romans as being formative of the Reformation, but how did the book of Galatians also shape the 16th century Reformation?
I think it probably shaped the 16th century Reformation most intensely in its understanding of law and gospel. And it teaches that the law condemns and the gospel forgives, and that the Bible is to be looked at through this lens. It's possible to have the sort of aura of Christianity with the iconography and the sacramental and liturgical stuff going on, and yet to miss the whole point by mixing the gospel with the law. And so Luther, armed with Galatians and the book of Romans, of course, came to the right interpretation of all the Bible to see it as a matter of God's demands and God's promises, that everything depended upon the passive righteousness, that is, receiving the righteousness of another, Christ, and then living accordingly in an active righteousness. This theme of law and gospel is incorporated also into our Book of Concord, which tells us this is the way to read the whole Bible. What does the law do? It shows us our sin. What does the gospel do? It shows us our Savior. And knowing who our Savior is, we endeavor to live for him. Never perfectly. That's why we always need law and gospel.
Pastor Matt Harrison is president of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. He's author of several books, including his latest, Why Am I Joyfully Lutheran?, and a column for the October issue of the Lutheran Witness magazine titled The Certain Gospel. The Lutheran Witness is available in print and online. Learn more at cph.org/witness or by calling Concordia Publishing House, 1-800-325-3040. Interpreting the contemporary world from a Lutheran perspective, the Lutheran Witness magazine. Matt, thanks.
Thank you.
Listener email and the Issues Etc. comment line are coming up on the other side of the break. The email address, talkback@issuesetc.org, and the comment line number, 618-223-8382. Concordia Publishing House's annual warehouse sale is both online and in store. Take advantage of discounted prices on many of the items you hear promoted on Issues Etc. October 15th through the 19th. You'll find major cost savings on books, music, Bibles, educational resources, and more. Concordia Publishing House's fall warehouse sale, cph.org/warehouse, and 3558 South Jefferson in St. Louis. Concordia Publishing House's warehouse sale, October 15th through the 19th.
The Epistle to the Galatians is the epistle I love the most, which I have taken as my wife. It is my Katie von Bora. Those were Martin Luther's words about Paul's letter to the Galatians. It was his beloved epistle, and he wrote some of his best commentaries on it. Read the October issue of the Lutheran Witness, Galatians and the Reformation, to learn more. Witness.lcms.org to learn about it and how to subscribe. The Lutheran Witness, helping you interpret the world from a Lutheran perspective. Witness.lcms.org.
No gimmicks, no shticks, just straightforward preaching and teaching in accord with Scripture and the Lutheran Confessions. By the book liturgy, right from the hymnal. No glitz, just Christ crucified for sinners like us. We're Grace Lutheran Church in Racine, Wisconsin. Come receive God's gifts with us. Find out more about us at gracelutheranracine, that's all one word, .net. And like you, we're proud supporters of Issues Etc.
Concordia University Chicago is committed to keeping college affordable for all, and especially for LCMS Lutherans. We have scholarships available specifically for students who are LCMS members. This is Dr. Russell Dawn, president of Concordia Chicago, asking you to encourage your student to check out Concordia Chicago at cuchicago.edu. And if you are interested in supporting these scholarships, please find us online at foundation@cuchicago.edu.
Christ-centered, cross-focused, you're listening to Issues Etc.
When Martin Luther preached the dedication for the Torgau Church, he asserted that nothing else happened in this house but that our dear Lord speak to us and we respond in prayer, thanksgiving, and praise.
Issues Etc. guest Dr. John Pless.
The same could be said of Concordia Theological Seminary. This is a place where our Lord speaks to us through His Word and we respond in joyful and thankful confession. We therefore invite you to visit our campus, where the Word of Christ dwells among us richly.
Learn more about studying for the vocations of pastor or deaconess at ctsfw.edu or call 1-800-481-2155. Forming servants in Jesus Christ to teach the faithful, reach the lost, and care for all. Concordia Theological Seminary, Fort Wayne, Indiana. ctsfw.edu or 1-800-481-2155.